You know that feeling when a single warning light pops up on your car dashboard?
Yeah, like the check engine light.
Exactly. And you can usually just ignore it for a few miles.
Right, you figure, I'll just get it checked over the weekend or whatever.
Yeah, but what happens when the check engine light and the oil pressure monitor and the tire pressure sensor and the battery light all start flashing red at the exact same
Yeah,
second?
you pull over immediately. I mean, you have to.
Right, because you realize you aren't dealing with just a single isolated mechanical issue.
It's not a loose gas cap.
No, the entire operating system of the vehicle is in this state of simultaneous failure.
And that simultaneous failure is basically the defining characteristic of the global landscape we are navigating right now.
It really is. And that flashing dashboard is the landscape we are stepping into today. So, welcome to our deep dive.
Glad to be here.
We have a very specific mission for this conversation. We're unpacking the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing, specifically looking at the mainstream media featured news for the week of March 20.
That's right.
And we really want to extend a warm welcome to you, the listener, on behalf of the Great Awakening Report.
Welcome, everyone.
Our goal today is to look at how this briefing synthesizes 57 independent sources to reveal what it calls the Great Convergence Phase.
Or systemic compression, which is a great term for it.
It is. But before we start turning the gears on this, we definitely need to establish a clear baseline for you, the listener.
Yeah, this is super important.
This deep dive involves politically charged frameworks and, alternative perspectives that come directly from the source document.
Right. And we need to be crystal clear that we are acting strictly as neutral guides to this material.
Exactly. We aren't here to take a political side
No, not at all.
or to endorse the viewpoints of the briefing. Our job is just to impartially report on the content provided.
We're just decoding the underlying arguments to help you understand how this specific source connects the dots of these massive global events.
Right. And we are going to examine seven major mainstream news stories today.
But, and this is key, the briefing demands we look at them as interacting dynamics, not just, isolated headlines.
Yeah, so we'll trace how massive macroeconomic shifts trickle all the way down to your daily mental resilience.
So where do we start?
Let's start at the absolute highest altitude the briefing offers, which is the macro squeeze.
Right, where geopolitics and the fundamental repricing of reality collide.
Exactly. So the briefing opens by analyzing the military positioning between the US and Iran.
Right, and it describes the current escalation as a, quote, contained but highly unstable equilibrium.
Which is an interesting way to phrase it.
It is, because it isn't depicting a scenario of immediate declared open warfare.
No, it's more about the mechanics of pre-positioning.
Yes. Militaries are moving massive assets. We're talking carrier strike groups, advanced air defense systems, logistical supply chains right into the theater.
They are staging the board.
Exactly. And the briefing emphasizes how this military staging bleeds directly into the plumbing of the global financial system.
Yeah, so when you look at the Strait of Hormuz, which is, one of the world's most critical energy choke
A
points,
huge choke point.
the source notes that the word risk has been completely redefined in mainstream coverage.
It's no longer just a hypothetical concern.
Right. It has become a, quote, priced-in probability.
And that phrase, priced in probability, it has massive mechanical implications.
How so?
Well, it means the global markets are behaving as if a disruption has already occurred.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so shipping insurance premiums for vessels moving through that region just skyrocketing.
And when maritime insurance triples, I assume the cost of the goods on those ships increases too.
Exactly. Supply chains are forced to preemptively reroute vessels entirely around the Horn of Africa.
Which adds what? Weeks to transit times?
Weeks. And it burns millions of dollars in extra fuel. So the economic penalty is being paid right now simply due to the anticipation of a shock.
That's wild. And while that geopolitical tension is actively driving up the cost of global trade, the briefing layers in the second macroeconomic pillar?
Right, the Federal Reserve's monetary
Yeah.
policy.
The central bank is committed to keeping interest rates higher for longer to fight this sticky inflation.
The era of free, easy money is over.
It's totally over. And the source points out that this tightening of liquidity is acting as a massive real-time stress test on commercial real estate.
Oh, absolutely. Commercial real estate is uniquely exposed to this specific shift in monetary policy.
Because of how the industry financed itself over the last decade, right?
Yeah, exactly. Many of these massive office skyscrapers and retail complexes, they were purchased using short-term or floating rate debt.
So the owners essentially took out mortgages where the monthly payments aren't locked in long term.
Right. So when the Federal Reserve drastically raises interest rates, the cost to service that debt automatically skyrockets.
So the building owners are suddenly hit with a mortgage payment that has doubled or maybe even tripled.
Exactly. And normally a landlord would just, you know, raise the rent on their tenants to cover the difference.
But they can't do that now.
No, because the briefing highlights a structural shift that makes that impossible, which is the permanent rise of remote and hybrid work.
The fundamental demand for office space has just collapsed.
Right. The building is hemorrhaging tenants and losing its underlying valuation at the exact moment its financing costs are exploding.
It's a mathematical trap.
It really is. The underlying business model is disintegrating just as the macroeconomic environment becomes totally hostile.
And to complete this macro squeeze, the briefing introduces a third pillar, which is China's severe economic slowdown.
Yeah, for decades, China relied heavily on a property-driven growth model.
Real estate development was basically the engine that fueled employment and consumer confidence across the country.
And local government revenues, too.
Yeah.
But the source outlines how that engine has essentially stalled out.
We are seeing a massive oversupply, like entire cities of vacant apartments.
Yes, colliding with super tight credit conditions for developers.
And the briefing points to skyrocketing youth unemployment in China as a direct symptom of this unwinding model.
But the concern isn't just domestic to China.
Right, because they have functioned as the primary consumer of global commodities.
Devouring steel, copper, energy, all to build that infrastructure.
So their internal slowdown threatens to transmit a massive demand contraction across the entire global economy.
Let's put these three macro forces together because it's intense.
Yeah, think about it like tectonic plates. Or imagine the global economy as a massive game of Jenga.
Okay, I like that.
The Federal Reserve is actively pulling out the foundational blocks of cheap liquidity from the bottom of the tower.
Right.
China is pulling out the blocks of global consumer and commodity demand from the middle. And the geopolitical tension in the Middle East is essentially someone violently shaking the table the game is being played on.
That is a terrifying visual.
Right. The briefing describes this environment as pressure without release. But if China is slowing down and the Fed is keeping money tight, doesn't the military tension act as a massive structural risk to an already fragile financial plate?
Yeah, absolutely. The briefing argues that because these pressures are overlapping, the margin for error has basically vanished.
Right.
The system is, in the source's words, gradually repricing reality.
Gradually repricing reality.
Yeah. A single miscalculation in that military staging could trigger a supply chain or energy shock that the fragile financial markets simply cannot absorb.
And when the massive abstract financial safety nets begin to tear at the macro level, the physical safety nets of individual nations are the first things to buckle.
Right.
Which brings us to our second thematic block in the briefing, systemic overload at the borders.
And it looks at this overload in both physical and digital spaces.
Let's start with the physical. The U.S. border is presented not merely as a policy debate, but as a multi-layered security and infrastructure strain.
Yes. The briefing details how the cartels operating on the border have fundamentally evolved.
They aren't just traditional narcotics trafficking organizations anymore.
No, they have transitioned into highly sophisticated, diversified logistics networks.
They are actively monetizing human flow on an industrial scale.
And the briefing uses the term parallel authorities to describe them, which is chilling.
Very. They aren't just smuggling people in the shadows. They are controlling specific geographic corridors.
They charge structured tolls. They dictate the volume of people who cross, and they manage the exact timing of those crossings.
So they are functioning as an alternative governing force in those regions.
Exactly. And this creates an environment where humanitarian management intersects directly with organized crime,
which causes a massive loss of equilibrium at local, state, and federal levels.
Yeah, when cartels dictate sudden surges in human flow, the destination cities physically lack the infrastructure to absorb the influx.
Shelter systems, local healthcare facilities, law enforcement budgets, they are all stretched entirely beyond their designed capacity.
It forces municipalities into a fragmented, reactive posture where they are just constantly fighting localized logistical fires.
It operates almost like a physical DDoS attack.
Oh, like a distributed denial of service.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Where a network is flooded with so much traffic that the servers just crash, But here, the servers are actual city infrastructures.
That's a really good way to frame it.
And the briefing seamlessly links this physical infrastructure strain to a digital one.
Right, highlighting a massive spike in cybersecurity warfare alerts.
And these alerts aren't just targeting corporate data.
No, they are aimed squarely at critical infrastructure. Energy grids, water treatment facilities, telecommunication networks.
The source details a chilling strategic shift by advanced cyber actors.
Yeah, the traditional playbook was to break into a system, steal valuable data, or cause immediate damage, and then just exit.
But the new doctrine is enter, remain, and wait.
Enter, remain, and wait. They're establishing long-term dormant footholds inside operational networks.
Hackers are basically sitting quietly inside the digital valves of a municipal water supply or the control systems of a power grid.
Just mapping the vulnerabilities and waiting for a future geopolitical trigger to activate.
It feels like we are looking at two sides of a hybrid warfare coin.
What do you mean?
Well, the physical border is like the front door of a house being overwhelmed, while the cyber threats are like termites deliberately placed in the foundation just waiting for a signal.
Right, right.
Both represent a systemic overload. The source calls cyber a gray zone environment. Is the briefing suggesting the cartel border issue is functioning in that exact same gray zone?
Yes, absolutely. In cybersecurity, infiltrating a power grid during a trade dispute allows a nation-state to exert massive coercive pressure without ever crossing the legal threshold of open declared war.
And similarly, the cartel-driven border dynamics act as a persistent stressor.
Right. It destabilizes internal political cohesion and drains municipal resources, but again, falling just below the threshold of traditional state-on-state military conflict.
Both tactics rely on applying sustained asymmetric pressure.
Exactly. So the concept of sovereignty is eroding simultaneously in the physical dirt of the border and in the digital cloud of our infrastructure.
And this cascading failure brings us to the third major theme of the briefing, the human cost.
Because eventually, all of this trickles down to us.
Right. We have to look at how these geopolitical, economic, and security compressions eventually impact the daily lives and minds of the human beings trying to navigate them.
The briefing isolates two deeply interconnected human challenges here. First, it examines the rapid acceleration of artificial intelligence and its role in job displacement.
Yeah, the source emphasizes that the conversation around AI has fundamentally shifted from, you know, a speculative future threat to an operational reality.
AI is no longer functioning merely as augmentation, like a tool to help a human worker be more efficient.
No, it is actively functioning as replacement in white-collar roles.
We are talking about large language models and automated systems doing the actual cognitive heavy lifting.
In fields like data analysis, customer support, legal discovery, software coding.
The briefing defines AI as an economic force multiplier that is actively dismantling the long-held assumption that complex white-collar knowledge work was somehow immune to automation.
And this drives a structural labor dislocation at scale.
Totally propelled by corporate incentive alignment. I mean, think about it. If one tech company or financial firm adopts AI to drastically reduce its human headcount and instantly improve its profit margins,
its competitors are mathematically forced to do the exact same thing just to survive in the market.
Exactly. It creates a corporate race to the bottom for human labor, compressing a societal transformation that should take decades down to a matter of financial quarters.
The timeline is accelerating at a dizzying pace, which feeds directly into the seventh and final news story the briefing highlights.
The global mental health crisis.
Yeah. The source describes the current psychological landscape as a state of prolonged nervous system overload.
Because people are trying to process global geopolitical tension, internal infrastructure failures, and the terrifying prospect of an algorithm replacing their livelihood, all at the exact same time.
And the briefing notes, the human nervous system isn't biologically designed for sustained high alert conditions.
No, you can't maintain that posture for years on end.
And it explicitly points out how the modern information environment actively weaponizes this stress.
You have algorithm-driven social media platforms and AI-generated content actively scrambling our shared reality.
It's an epistemic closure. People are increasingly unable to agree on basic fundamental facts,
which erodes societal trust and skyrockets individual psychological strain.
But let me push back for a second, or at least ask a question.
Sure.
Humans have survived massive crises before. We navigated world wars. We lived through the Great Depression. We endured the Cold War.
True.
What makes this specific moment a civilizational pressure point, according to the source? Is it the synchronization of the AI threat taking away our livelihoods at the exact same moment the algorithm is scrambling our reality?
That is exactly it. The briefing argues that the defining characteristic of this moment is synchronization.
Synchronization.
During the Great Depression, the global economy collapsed, but the fundamental nature of human labor wasn't being questioned, and the reality of the threat was widely agreed upon.
Everyone knew what the problem was.
Right. Today, the underlying structures of reality are all in flux simultaneously.
You are losing your economic footing to automation at the exact same moment. The digital information landscape makes it impossible to figure out what is actually happening.
It's the synchronization of physical instability, economic replacement, and informational chaos. That creates a unique cognitive fatigue and emotional dysregulation that previous generations just didn't face in this combined manner. Mental health is inextricably linked to all the other failing systems.
So we have looked at the seven stories the briefing laid out.
Right. The US-Iran pre-positioning in the Strait of Hormuz.
The Federal Reserve's interest rates breaking the commercial real estate market.
China's unwinding property-driven economy.
The physical overload at the borders.
The digital pre-positioning in our critical infrastructure.
AI replacing white-collar jobs.
And the resulting global mental health crisis.
And the overarching synthesis of this great convergence is that these are interacting dynamics.
Right. Financial tightening exposes hidden debt fragility in real estate.
Geopolitical tension maps directly onto those cyber vulnerabilities in our grids.
And technological disruption in the labor market amplifies the psychological strain.
We are transitioning from a historical period defined by growth, stability, and globalization into an era defined by constraint, recalibration, and systemic compression.
Which brings us to the ultimate goal of the Truth Seeker Weekly briefing.
Yes, because they don't just present the crisis.
No, they provide a conscious wrap-up for the listener.
On behalf of the truth seekers, the source details a framework it calls the journey from the matrix to higher frequency living.
The underlying logic here is that if all of these external macroeconomic and geopolitical systems are compressing and failing, your focus fundamentally has to shift inward.
Makes sense.
The briefing outlines four key pillars for remaining grounded while navigating this systemic compression.
Let's break those down. The first pillar is the active practice of letting go of fear.
Yeah, the source explicitly describes fear as the master key of control.
Fear keeps the human nervous system reactive.
Right, keeping you locked in that state of prolonged overload we discussed earlier.
So releasing that fear is framed as the first true act of personal sovereignty.
Exactly. And then the second pillar the briefing advocates is practicing forgiveness and emotional clearing.
The source argues that you have to consciously unshackle yourself from past grievances to dissolve energetic residue.
It's about reclaiming your mental clarity and emotional power so you aren't fighting internal battles while trying to navigate external chaos.
The third pillar focuses on daily physical practices, like utilizing meditation and transformational breathing.
When the external world is totally unpredictable, the source points to the breath as a fundamental, always accessible tool for inner alignment.
It is a biological mechanism to literally force the nervous system out of a fight or flight state and back into conscious presence.
And the fourth and final pillar is living with the heart of a volunteer.
Which means leading your life with authenticity, prioritizing service to others, and operating with unconditional love.
It's about embodying integrity and compassion in your immediate daily interactions, regardless of what the macroeconomic indicators are doing.
What is genuinely powerful about this conscious wrap-up is that it offers a highly actionable, individualized response to a deeply overwhelming geopolitical briefing.
It really does. It suggests that while you cannot control the interest rates or the global supply chains, your internal state remains the ultimate leverage point.
And the briefing leaves us with a profound quote to anchor this entire deep dive. It says, "You're either outside acting in the movie or going within to watch it consciously."
If the external systems, the financial markets, the military alliances, the technology replacing labor, if they are all compressing at once, the external world is largely out of your
You
hands.
cannot individually stop the Jenga tower from swaying.
No, you can't.
But, if the only system you have absolute true sovereignty over is your own mind, it begs an uncomfortable question about how we consume information.
Oh, how so?
Well, by tuning into deep dives, news briefings, and geopolitical analyses every single week to stay informed about the collapsing borders and the AI threats, are we actually feeding the very nervous system overload we are desperately trying to escape?
That's a fascinating point.
Maybe the ultimate act of sovereignty isn't just learning how to watch the movie consciously. maybe, occasionally, true sovereignty is having the power to just turn the screen off altogether.
Wow.
So which role are you choosing to play today?